The Robber Barons, Rockefeller's Combination, Part 5, The Great Railroad Strike of 1877. During the summer of 1877, the workers of the Baltimore and Ohio Railroad went on strike over wage cuts, and their strike then spread like wildfire to adjacent railroads, raging particularly violently in the Pennsylvania Railroad system. It was the most destructive labor war that the United States had ever known, and it was now being seen in Baltimore and Pittsburgh, with militant mobs fighting armed troops and setting property on fire in revenge for the many deaths the workers had suffered, sometimes at the hands of the Pinkertons hired by the railroads. During this storm, which was ignited by the railroad barons cutting wages by 20%, and doubling the length of trains, the Pennsylvania interest quickly came to terms with Standard Oil so that they could concentrate with a free hand to crush the rebellious workers. The entire business of Empire Transportation was sold out to the oil combination at their terms. In Philadelphia, Rockefeller and his partners quietly were very jubilant, receiving the weeping pots as he capitulated to them. The oil industry as a whole was impressed with Standard Oil's victory over a railroad ring which had seemed to be invincible in the past. In a movement of fear, many other oil interests hurried to make their terms with Rockefeller. Particularly by the end of 1878, Rockefeller and his Standard Oil controlled all of the existing pipeline systems. With a new freight pool, he directed traffic, or quantities of supplies, to the various regions or cities as he pleased. In 1876, the annual output of Standard Oil was 10 million barrels. It was 80% controlled by Standard Oil, and they exported petroleum products valued at $32 million. But in 1877, the Great Bradford oil field was opened with a wild oil boom like the scenes of 1859. And almost overnight, another 5 million barrels of oil flooded the market. Just when Rockefeller seemed to have completed his conquest of the old oil region. Then in the next 2 years, Rockefeller directed Standard Oil like it was an ordnance depot in wartime. So piping, refining, and marketing capacity might be expanded in time, and almost untenable supplies handled without faltering. They had a huge building program that they carried out, and to hold down the unruly producers, Rockefeller imposed harsh terms through his pipelines. Since he owned all the pipelines, if you had to move your oil that way, well, he had you. He would simply do things like refuse to store the excess oil, or forcing the people to sell their oil that they drilled for immediate shipment at depressed prices of 64 to 69 cents a barrel, or simply they just have to run it on the ground. The overproduction simply could not be stopped. The oil men raged at Rockefeller's Standard Oil. Once again, an independent, protective combination was formed. It was founded as the Parliament of Petroleum. It raised money to build a free pipeline to run over the mountains to the seacoast, bypassing the railroads that had them bottled up. The Tidewater Pipeline would break Standard Oil's control over the railroad rates. Well, Rockefeller had his agents lobby the state legislature in Pennsylvania to have the proposed pipeline banned. Well, that failed. Then his agents bought up the right-of-way in the pipelines, an advance that failed because the engineers excluded Rockefeller property. In April of 1879, the pipeline was completed. Oil went over the Allegheny Mountains to Williamsport, touching the Reading Railroad, which had just joined the Independence. But who would be buying their crude oil at the seaboard? Of course, it would be John D. Rockefeller. Now begins the rise and the peak of the Rockefeller conspiracy, which will play out in trials and legislatures in 1879, with ultimately having Rockefeller victorious. So we've seen Rockefeller working his magic here. Standard Oil, of course, we've all heard of Standard Oil for the most part. Great investment if you had stock in it, but not exactly the nicest company to come on the scene. It is just amazing to see the bare knuckle operation of these new industries that we today take for granted. You know, we always talk about how powerful the oil companies are, or this utility company, or what have you. But to see how these groups developed and created their gigantic corporations, it makes the people today look actually pretty tame. But of course, this will get worse, because now we'll be getting into sections where they're going to start combining not just one industry, but other industries, and ultimately lead to the famous trusts, and then we'll have to bust them. But that's not for a while yet. So the sources for this, same ones that I have been using, that is Josephson's The Robber Barons, Cashman's The America and the Gilded Age, and Holbrook's The Age of Moguls, The Story of Robber Barons and Tycoons. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs. And if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you so very much.